All right, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 12 with me this morning, please. Verse number 38. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 38. Matthew 12:38. This is Levi the publican, tax collector, despised 2,000 years ago, and I don't think many people love him today. Amen. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 38. The scripture says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. But as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas." Now watch this. "And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Verse 42, "The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." Now watch this. "And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Father, bless your word now. Give this messenger the unction that I need this morning. In thy blessed name, amen. You can be seated. Now, I believe the Bible, folks. I'm a Bible believer. Understand all of it? No. But I believe it. And so therefore, I'm not in conflict with Scripture. I don't wrestle with it. I believe it. And that makes a difference in altogether makes a difference in your study of the Word of God and how you receive it. If it's God's Word, if you notice the Lord Jesus dealing with people who had rejected him because he didn't fit their mold. He didn't come for the reason they thought he should come for. He wasn't who they wanted him to be. He let them know that their need was far more than freedom from Rome. Their need was spiritual. And, of course, they rejected that. But here in the book of Matthew chapter number 12, he begins to compare himself with a human being. Now, we all know the story of Jonas, and we know the story of Solomon. We've read the Old Testament, and I believe the Bible. And we know that he said this about him. He said, "A greater than Jonas is here, infinitely greater, may I say." And he said also here that in verse number 42, "A greater than Solomon is here." If we only knew how much greater. We don't. We can't comprehend that in this world. There's no way, because there's nothing we can compare it with. The Lord Jesus Christ is infinitely above and beyond anything that our mind could ever imagine. He's the God-man. He's the almighty, eternal, absolute being who manifested himself 2,000 years ago in a body of flesh. Yes, he did. He incarnated himself. That's what the incarnation is. And God became a man. And so when he says to them, "A greater than Solomon, a greater than Jonas, a greater than any of them," and he is absolutely, absolutely, and beyond our understanding, greater. And so when we look at this text, we say to ourselves, you know, if we only understood who he really is. He said to the woman at the well, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is that's talking to you, you'd ask of me." Our ignorance is expensive. The Bible says our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need to know, folks, not for novelty's sake, not to intrigue your mind. We need to know, because knowing gives us unction and power. Knowing opens doors. Knowing, and we need to know, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is this that cometh from Eden with dyed garments from Bosra? Never man spake like this man. Never has been one before like him. There'll never be one after like him. He's one of a kind. Amen. My friend, he is the absolute judge of all things. He said to these people that the Queen of Sheba would rise up in judgment with you because she came preaching of Solomon. She heard about Solomon, and that was enough to bring her from Sheba. And here we have Jonas, and said that they'll rise up in judgment with you. Now, this is a study in the Bible. You run it from Genesis to Revelation. You'll find out that God holds you accountable for what you know, for what you don't know, and for what you should know. In other words, he judges you for the light you have, the light you don't have, and the light you should have. And the Bible said in John chapter number 1, he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There's something he puts down inside the soul of a man that cannot be replaced. It cannot be compared with anything else. And so, and the Bible says in John chapter number 4 and verse number 12, they said to him, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, and his children and his cattle? This is the woman of Samaria. This is a Samaritan. And John 8:53, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? And whom makest thou thyself? Well, he's greater than Abraham. Though I have the greatest love and respect for Abraham this morning, one of the greatest men that ever walked the face of this earth, folks, make no mistake about it, is Abraham. He's right there with Moses. He's a wonderful man. But the Bible says, art thou greater than our father Abraham? You see, my friend, you come to the point when you know the Lord Jesus, you pray to him, you talk to him, you serve him, you love him, when you no longer ask questions like that. It doesn't need to be answered because you know it in your soul. You know it intrinsically. It's part of you. It's part of your being. You know who he is. Amen. I am known of mine, he said.
That's right.
Amen. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they'll not hear. I know who I am. I know whom I believe. Oh, yes. I know whom I believe. And I don't believe a man that's been created by men, that's been defined by men, that's been brought to me and set before me as men can. We don't tell you, don't want that. You want Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath revealed that to you. I want to know about the Lord Jesus what God alone only can reveal about the Son of God. Are you following me this morning? He can reveal him to your spirit and to your soul in a way that nothing else can. Matthew chapter 17. There appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Oh, I can imagine it was. Here he was shining brighter than the sun, top of the mountain of transfiguration, looking off into the future of the kingdom and the power and the glory that is his and his alone. And my friend, when Peter got a dose of that, he said to him, hold on. I've never been anywhere like this before. And friend, it's good for us every once in a while to be somewhere like that. It's good for us to be touched by a power higher than us. Yes, it's good for us to come in contact with the Holy Ghost. Yes, it is. Well, they don't talk about the Holy Ghost in my church. Get you another one. Because if the Holy Ghost is not in that house, you're in the wrong place. It's nothing but a bunch of man-made religion glorifying men, and that's all it is, and it'll never rise above it. We live or die by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so Peter said, oh, I like this. Peter was spontaneous. He spoke as it came to his heart and to his soul. And man, when he was on top of that mountain, he couldn't hold back. But here's what he said, and you need to understand this. Then answered Peter, said, it's good to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Even though he had said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, even though he knew he was the Son of God, even though he knew all that God had revealed to him, he still did not get it that this Lord Jesus Christ was infinitely above and beyond and better than anything this earth could ever offer. Oh boy, if he could only gotten a hold of that. But he couldn't do it. And so he said, a voice spoke from heaven. This is when God intervenes. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Have you ever been in churches where it's all about the great men? I have. Oh yeah, I have. Let me tell you something, folks. When your world starts falling apart, when everybody turns against you, and I mean there's nothing but darkness around, and the burden of your sin cannot be lifted from your soul, great men will do nothing for you. God free you from Christian celebrities. If there was some way I could get up here and preach to you and hide, and you not see me, it would be 10,000 times better. This church is not built on people. Because the one that you have so much faith and trust in, the one you love so much, the one that you think is the greatest thing in the world, is liable to get up and walk out that door right there and you never see them again. But he won't. He never will. Focus your attention on Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Oh, yes. Focus your attention on him. If you've been at this as long as I've been at this and watched as many people turn against you as I've watched turn, if you've gone through the dog fights and this and that and so forth and so on, somewhere along the line, when the dust begins to settle, you've got to raise up somewhere. You've got to find a place in your life where you say, Lord, I can't live like this. I can't live in my relationship with people. I cannot exist. I cannot function when it comes to all I've got is what I have from people. I'll die. You've got to give me something better than this. And that's when I get alone with God. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes alive in my soul. And I'm able to stand up in front of you and preach the word of God. Whether you love me or not, whether you're here or not, whether you stay or not, I'm going to preach Christ till I finish my course. Amen. You got to. I don't know if you've been there yet. Let's have three tabernacles. One for you, Lord. One for Moses and one for Elijah. If Moses and Elijah had been allowed to speak up, Moses and Elijah would have looked at him and said, now, Peter, I know you mean well, son. I know you're all worked up. You're all fired up here emotionally. I realize you don't see this every day. But that one right there is infinitely above us. Amen. And so it is. Acts chapter number 3, verse 25. You're the children of the prophets. And of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Here's Abraham. Hebrews 6:13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Boy, God said, I'm going to do something for you, Abraham. And when I do it, it's going to be based upon a promise and an oath. And that oath I cannot take with a human being, because that human being cannot stand. He cannot be there. He cannot go into the future like I can. I swear by myself. God said that I'm going to bless you, Abraham. Man, boy, God swore by himself. He swore by himself because he could swear by no greater. And what's the promise to Abraham? Abraham, I'm going to set you apart. I called you from Ur of the Chaldees. All you knew is what God I'd revealed to you at the time. Come out of your darkness. Come away from your idols. Come away from your people. And go into a land that I'll show you. And Abraham was a pilgrim and a stranger from that moment on. He didn't know where he's going. He's just following God. And God brought him down into the land of Israel. And boy, did he ever come into a place. And Abraham was something else. The Bible said the Canaanite was then in the land. But Abraham came into that land anyway. And he went to a place and he built an altar. And there he called upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Called upon him. He cried out to him. It was a prayer. Abraham was a prayer. He built altars and he prayed. He talked to the Lord. Have you got your catechism right? Have you got all your accolades hanging around your neck? Have men pumped you up now and you think you're the greatest thing in the world? Let me tell you something. The greatest foundation of this church, and when it comes to a person, would be that one that is on their face crying out to God. That is the glue that would hold us together as human beings, would be that soul that knows how to intercede. They can tell. They have that discernment. They know when there's strife. They know when there's problems. They know when there's pulling. They know when there's division. And instead of ramming their nose into it and try to bust everything up, they get on their face and they start crying out to God. And he hears them. That's the greatest ministry at Temple Baptist Church. It is no greater than that. I just happen to be the messenger up here this morning. And if you're not praying, you're playing. I know. You pass that off like it means nothing. But that's everything. That's a privilege given to us that even an angel doesn't have. To pray. When God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. And Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 7, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. That's Abraham. And yet, wait a minute. Even as great as Abraham was, Abraham could not go but so far with you. He couldn't do but so much to help you. I'm sure Abraham would give you the shirt off of his back. From what I've read about the man, he loved the Lord with all of his heart. He was the father of the faithful. Look up into the heavens, Abraham. What do you see? Stars? Count them. Oh, boy. And thus shall thy seed be. He gave him a promise in the Old Testament. Did he give anybody else? Abraham was the man of faith, the one to receive the promises of God. And that promise of God was based upon God's oath, or he swore by himself that it would be that way. We're children of Abraham. If you're born again today, Abraham is your father in the spiritual world. We're children of Abraham. Yes, we are. Abraham is a wondrous man, but he's only so much. He's still a sinner. He still needs to be saved. He can only go so far with you. Now look at these people about you. For the most part, these are good people in this house. Many of these people would get down and pray with you. They'd give you the last dollar they've got in their pocket. They'd go with you as far as they could possibly go with you. They'd help you every way they can. I've watched them do it. I've watched them. But they can only go so far with you. Only so far. Have you ever been on a gurney when they wheeled you off into the operating room and you didn't know if you were going to come back out alive or not? I've been wheeled in there about 4 times like that. So what'd you do, preacher? Were you shaking? Were your bones rattling? No, I had a smile on my face. I'd kiss goodbye the ones that I wanted to kiss. And I was ready. I was trying to shave this morning. My foot flew out from under me. Here I am standing in the bathroom. My feet fly out from under me. How'd they do it? I'm dogged if I know. But down I went. I hit the deck, and I got up, and I looked around and got a big place on my arm, but it didn't slash it open, so thank God I'm not bleeding. But I can feel it. Time's running out for this preacher. Oh, preacher, aren't you getting depressed? No, I'm getting excited, if you'll know the truth about it. Time's running out. My poor wife sitting back there, you got to watch her. She falls all over the place. Got to push the poor old thing around. Got to take care of her. Got to watch her. Got to be with her. She's getting to now where you got to be with her 24/7. Yeah, that's okay. You grapping? No, I love her. I love her. This coming December will be 60 years. 60 years. I met her in 1966. I love her. And I'll be happy and glad to do it. Amen. And I want to thank you one more time for that van and that ramp so I can roll her up in there. And we can roll away. Yeah, we can roll away. Life can get hard for you. I'm standing before you this morning, folks. It hadn't been easy. What am I going to do? Cry and complain? I'm your pastor. I mean, if I can't get up here in front of you and show you the grace of God working in my life, what the dickens am I preaching to you? I mean, why should I preach to you about having joy in the midst of troubles and problems and tribulations like that if I can't have that? Are you following me today? God's been good to me. He's been real good to me. See this tie right here? I'm a veteran. I went in 1964, went through Paris Island. 1964. Vietnam was really heating up when I went in. It was heating. Then they were sending troops by the thousands when I went in 1964. Like this brother was talking about a few minutes ago, a lot of those young men went over there, didn't come back. 58,000 names up there in Washington, D.C. Now we're buying and selling Vietnamese. Now they're going to Vietnam on tourism, and now everything is hunky-dory. So what changed? I've lived long enough to look at stuff like that, and I want to ask you a pointed question. What changed? If everything is okay in Vietnam now, and the people are happy in Vietnam now, and we're trading and making money with Vietnam now, and people want to visit Vietnam now, what changed? What'd they die for? This is what happens to you when you're 80 years old almost. See, I don't need your books. I lived it. I know what it was like in the 60s. And the only reason I didn't go is because I was a mechanic and I thought I was headed to Vietnam, and I wound up in Okinawa, stayed there for a year. I didn't know where I was going. I was going to, I think it was 3rd Marine Division. I didn't know. I thought I'd be in Vietnam. God's been good to me. He's been good to me. Because I had friends that died in Vietnam as teenagers. They never came out of that place. They carried them out in body bags. Think about that. Think about that. Young men, what they die for. If you've lived a while, folks, you ought to have a little wisdom. You should be able to see things a little differently. Don't believe CBS, NBC, and ABC. Don't believe the New York Times. Don't believe the media. My friend, if you've lived it like I've lived it, don't let anybody kid you. What changed? Makes you wonder if Wall Street might have had a hand in all that. You wonder if the dollar bill, the love of money, who knows? Do I think any less? I think more of our veterans. I love our veterans. I'm not talking about them. These men have honor, men, women. They went to the field. They died in courage and honor. I have the greatest respect for our veterans. You can't do too much for them. Amen. But I've lived it, and I've seen it, and I know what Christ can do for you because I know what he did for me. Thanks be unto God. So I want you to come down with me to the book of Luke chapter 4 and verse number 14. Luke chapter number 4 and verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and his custom was he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Esaias, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That acceptable year of the Lord, my dear friend, is the year of Jubilee. It's the 50th year that comes by cycles, the year of Jubilee. God intended in his Bible for nobody to remain a perpetual beggar in the land of Israel. It would not happen. He took care of his people. Fact is, probably the greatest system of governance that you'll find in all of the history of mankind. But here's the point I want to make with you. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a living person at the right hand of the Father. He said he came to preach the gospel. And he said he came to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted. Have you been stabbed in the back? Do you know what it is to be brokenhearted? Do you know what it is to put your soul and your life and your trust into a human being and then have them turn on you? How many of you know what that is? Are you brokenhearted today? You say, "Preacher, I can't trust anybody again. My trust is all gone in people." You can live with that, but what you need to know is that the Lord Jesus Christ will never violate that trust. Once he begins to heal what's going on inside you, your relationship with people will heal. Amen. Don't put the cart before the horse. Don't try to heal your relationship with people as you come to God. That's not it. Come to the Lord and ask him to heal your broken heart. And then once that's healed, then any differences that you have with people, you'll be amazed at that, how that begins to heal. That's the good thing about the Lord. Always get it right. Don't flip it around and turn it the wrong way. I want you all to love me. I'd like to have a fellowship and relationship with every one of you in this house today. To have freely we worship the Lord and have peace and joy as we come into the house of the Lord. But it's not going to happen. Why? Because I'm a pragmatist. I know. I've been at this too long. I understand people. Some of you in this house are only looking for something for yourself. You're very selfish. You don't care anything about anybody. That's it. And you're looking in religion right now to satisfy some hunger and need that you feel in your heart. Well, folks, religion will never give it to you. But here's the problem. You can get a fake Christianity in religion. They say all the words. They do all the right things. They look the way. They sing the songs. But they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the problem. Yes. I have a special feeling for sinners. I have compassion for sinners. I have compassion for some poor dog out here in the dark, scratching around, digging holes and trying to find his way, and hurting, and making promises and turn right around and break all the promises he made, and with the guilt eating him alive. I have compassion for that. Why? Because I lived that for 27 years. That's right. I heard a guy say one time, well, I was a wicked, low-down, godless sinner, and God came to me, and glory to God, he saved my soul. Say, how old were you when you got saved? I was 5. Oh, boy, I was 27. Yeah, 27. Imagine now somebody's been in the Marine Corps, been all over the world, folks. I've been all over this world. Imagine what I was. And glory to God, he came to me.
Yes, amen.
Now you're out there and you're wondering, well, he won't come. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He'll come to you like he came to me. He may come to you in a different way at a different time, sure, but he'll come to you. All you that labor and are heavy laden, come to me, he said. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Oh, yeah, he said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Broken heart is one of the hardest things in the world to live with. It is. It's hard. It's hard, man. I got a broken heart. When you give somebody your heart and they stomp on it and they stab you in the back, they cut your throat, nobody can hurt you like somebody that loves you or you love. That's the worst hurt there is. You pour your soul into them and you love them, and then they do that to you. Nothing can hurt worse than that. How many following me? He said, I came to heal that heart. Broken heart. Broken heart. He said, I came to preach deliverance to the captives. You know these poor souls out here in the streets? They're tense, shooting up dope. I hope it doesn't make you feel good, and I hope you don't feel better than them. I hope it doesn't work on your pride and you strut around because, well, thank blessed God, I'm not one of them. No, no, you could be there by the grace of God. I know I could. If you hadn't come, that's probably where I doubt I'd be in hell if you hadn't come to me. I wouldn't have made it that long. No, I want you to think about what I'm saying to you this morning. Think about it. Deliverance to the captives. Say, preacher, tried everything in the world and I'm hooked on drugs and I know you can't. And I don't have the power to either. And neither does a man have that power, but he can break it. Now, the breaking may be a gradual thing where he by faith takes you down a path where day by day you get strength to come overcome the problem that you've got with your dope. I don't know which way it'll be, but he may take it from you immediately and you never have another problem with it for the rest of your life. It depends on who you are and depends on what God's purpose is in your life, but he can break it. He can break the dope addiction. Which a young man died just a few months ago. Strong, nice looking young man. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I think they just went in and found him one day and he's laying there overdosed. Dead. 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 I've gone into the funeral homes. Instead of a casket, body's just laying on a table. Table. Just a table. Young woman, young woman, young, 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 young. I'm old enough to be her grandfather. Her body's laying on a table. Family standing around crying, and I say, what is this? You see how, I don't know where she started, but I know where she ended. I don't gloat in that, do you? I'd like to have got there sooner, been able to do something to help her. I know a man that put a gun to both sides of his head, and he pulled the trigger, and he blew his brains out. Both sides of his head at the same time. He couldn't take it anymore. He'd been going all over the country preaching the word of God. Let me tell you something about preaching. Hope you're listening to me. A lot of preachers think it's spiritual to preach. And they get into this mode and they preach and they preach and they preach, but they wonder why they're dead as a dog the next day. They wonder why it sucked the very life out of them. Because preaching does not make you spiritual. What makes you spiritual, preacher? Relationship with the Lord.
Right.
Now, there's nothing wrong with preaching. But you see, that's the problem. You can run all over this country. You can preach every Sunday. You can preach revival meetings until you drop dead in your tracks and be deader than a doornail.
That's right.
Spiritually. I've seen it happen more than once. And this is for preachers. If you're a young man or older man or whatever, listen to this preacher. Listen to this preacher. There have been many Mondays, many of them, when I would sit alone and I'd think to myself, what in the thunder have I accomplished? I've been up here preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. Didn't do a thing spiritually for me. Nothing. Then I lift up my head toward heaven and I begin to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ and glorify his holy, blessed, righteous name. And the first thing you know, he starts talking to me. The preaching didn't do it. And it won't do it for you. He said to set the captive free, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I know I'm taking a little time, but please listen to me. Listen, I've been reading this Bible a long time. I probably would get kicked out of most fundamental Baptist meetings. Here comes that heretic Lawson. We don't have time for him. Well, he only believes that people are made in the image of God. That's right. And that guy, he doesn't believe angels can pray. That's right. And he doesn't believe anybody in the Old Testament was born again. That's right. He's not a good fundamentalist. I'm a Christian. And I'm a Bible believer. And I love my Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I do. You see, I was sitting there this morning, and God started talking to me about stuff. And if I told you right now what he told me this morning, well, now, Reverend Lawson, it's time. It's time for you to settle down a little bit. Now, let's take a little time off and rest a little bit. Now, let's let your mind calm down. And man, it stirred my soul. I thought to myself, you showed me that in order to show me this. If I had turned my eyes blind to that, then I would never have been able to see this. But now that you've showed me this, and you've showed me this, then what's following that? Lord said, that. And I said to myself, what in the world has caused me to be so blind, to not understand the work that you're doing? Say, preacher, you losing it? I'm happy, hallelujah to God. I'm the happiest crazy man you ever saw in your life. What am I saying to you, folks? I'm telling you that you're bored and your Bible is boring because all you will study and all you know is some superficial Mickey Mouse nothing that gets voiced time and time and time and time again in every church you go to, and they won't believe the Bible. They won't study the Bible. They get a hold of stuff that makes feel good, sermon, and at the end of the day, what's it done for you? He excites me. He excited me this morning because he needed to. I got up, went upstairs, take a bath. First thing you know, my feet are flying out from under me. And I hit the deck, bounce off the floor. And while I'm sitting there, I say to myself, now, Lord, I said, all I'm trying to do is take a bath. I got to take a bath. Honestly, I said, now, here I am. You know it. You know everything that's happening to me. You know every breath I breathe, every beat of my heart. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to pout. I'm not going to run off in the corner. Glory to your holy, righteous name. And then I got up and dried myself off. Put me some clothes on and walked out of there. That's what you do. That's how you live. Father, bless your word. Thank you, Lord, for the time in your house. I pray the sweet Holy Spirit's able to do something to help someone, Father, I spoke to this morning. I look at faces out there today. There's some hungry faces out there, Lord. There's some broken faces out there. There's some hurting faces out there. There's some people out there, Heavenly Father, that are confused. But I see a sparkle in their eye. I see a sparkle in their eye. Light's beginning to come on for them. Thank you for that. Every head's bowed and eyes closed. Anybody pray? Raise your hand and say, Preacher Lawson, pray for me. Pray for me, because I need what you're talking about. I want fellowship with the Lord. I want light to come on in my life. I want to get rid of this depression. I want to get free from this burden of this sins that eat my soul alive. It's bound me up. And for many of you, what may eat one person up, the other person, it doesn't even pay attention to it. We have our own besetting sins. Anybody else? Raise your hand, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, you let me go so far. You only tell me so much. I can only do so much. But I stand this morning and pray for every soul in this house. Help them, Lord. Help them, help them. If they only knew how much I want to help them. If they only knew that. Father, in Jesus' name, soften their heart. Open their soul. May they receive, Father, what they need. Maybe it's just a little bit of the scripture to begin to move in their heart. Just enough to move in their soul. And draw them to thee. In your holy, righteous name I pray. Amen. All right, let's stand up this morning, folks.